Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get $100 in free bets. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET and claim your free bet today. Welcome everyone to the MLB Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, August 10th, currently 5:13 on the East Coast. Here to break down the Thursday schedule in MLB, including a very special game. The Field of Dreams game returns for a second year between the Reds and the Cubs. We'll get into details about that and we'll recap some games that was of interest last night in the MLB, as well as some news near and dear to my co-host's heart for his respective baseball team. And if you guys didn't know already, we'll get into that in a second. But like I said, joining me here is Noah Beanick. Noah, how you doing, my man?
Doing pretty well, Munaf. Honestly, today, very excited to cover this podcast because The Field of Dreams is my favorite baseball movie. It might be a hot take, it might not be, but for me personally, it's just got a whole lot of classic references to old time baseball that I just love. And Kevin Costner, one of my favorites, also in for the Love of the Game, which was a Tigers movie, so I kind of loved him as a baseball actor, also in Bull Durham. So Field of Dreams kind of just had it all for me growing up. So love what they've done with this game, and I'm excited to cover it. I have some DFS action for it as well. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yes, sir. Noah mentioned, Field of Dreams games going off on Thursday between the Reds and the Cubs. So we'll get into details about that. No, I'm going to save that game for last because I know you have some DFS stuff like you just mentioned, and we'll go through that handicap last. So I'll skip over that game and we'll save that for last. But last night, some great action yesterday in the MLB. Had a great day. I hit some parlays yesterday. Unfortunately, my lock and dog didn't come through, and I got a couple bad beats on that. I had the Rangers were up 4-0, and the Astros hit a grand slam to tie it up, and then they took the lead 5-4 in the fifth inning, I believe. And then the Astros got two in the bottom of the fifth to kind of blow it up in my face. And then the Jays were just frustrating last night. They had a 5-3 lead, and then the rain delay came. As soon as I saw that, I knew that they were either going to cough that lead up and lose the game outright. And fortunately for me, I bet the live on the Orioles. But a weird night for me. But how did your night turn out last night, Noah?
I'll start off with the Blue Jays comment. There's nothing like seeing your Twitter feed blow up with Johnny G all caps tweets. Like, that's the best. Because it makes me feel better about the whole Tigers right now. But lock and dog yesterday. Now, I'll start with the dog. Padres -1.5, complete sweat all the way. Yeah. Went into extra innings. Manny Machado, moonshot to left field. I kind of said that this was going to be the bounce back game. Called the Giants to upset game one, had Padres game two. That one I was all over. I was also all over Rockies upset that I didn't put as my dog. I kind of drilled a few games right on the nail with the handicap. But the one game, or the one guy, I guess, I was all over Tommy Henry, and I had Like, I was texting people. Yeah. I had some of my, like, half of my paycheck on this game for Henry's K's, and yeah. it was set at 4.5. Dude goes out there, throws 7 innings, 3 hits, 3 strikeouts. So, yeah. I mean, he dealt. It's just, that's a tough beat, I think, because, I mean, he had a great game, and the handicap was there. So, I don't know. That one kind of stung, because otherwise it was a good day for me, but I personally came out negative. I think there was a lot of news to talk about yesterday's slates, so I think there's a couple of games to get into a little bit deeper here.
Yeah, last night I think the one game that I was listening to, I was in bed. I saw the Yankees and the Mariners game was scoreless through 9 innings, and at a point you thought that somebody was going to walk it off, at least by the 10th or 11th inning, but it got all the way to the bottom of the 13th. And, you know, I actually had the under 7 in that game as a last leg of a parlay. And I was feeling great, I mean, through 5, 6, 7 innings. But you never know. When it hits that extra innings mark, Noah,
it's like baseball is the only time that they don't call it overtime. But every other game, it's not undertime, it's overtime. That's the saying, you know?
Yeah. And I was a little nervous that I don't know, in a crazy way that game would go over. But fortunately for me, it ended up 1-0. Mariners walked it off in the bottom of the 13th inning there to get it done. But what kind of caught your eye yesterday? And I know we have some news to get to as well. But what was about yesterday that you kind of caught your eye?
So that Yankees Mariners game, like you mentioned, the two starting pitchers threw 147 fastballs.
Yeah.
How many fastballs were under 95 miles an hour?
Ooh.
It was Luis Castillo and Garrett Cole.
Yeah. 147 fastballs. How many were under
95?
10.
0.
Wow.
Yeah. So, just flamethrowers on the mound all night. And Seattle was just bringing in guys that were throwing like 99, 100 all night. That play that Brash made behind his back, and then they got the double play in the base runners.
The base running was so bad.
There was like 5 base running errors in that game by the Yankees. So they're the only ones they have to blame for that game. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go out and say that. So I wanted to mention that. Did you also see the Pittsburgh Pirates base runner that was running with his phone?
Yes.
I tweeted out that he was in fantasy football best ball drafts with Kramer last night.
Yeah, that was funny. So he was sliding into third base, and then here the phone comes out of his back pocket, and the umpire kind of like he was confused at like what kind of came out. He saw it was his phone. He kind of like points at it. And the player picks it up and he tries to hand it off to the third base coach. The third base coach goes, he kind of like was confused or like kind of dazed as well. He's like, why are you trying to give me this right now? And it kind of seemed like shady just because of all the stuff that's been going on. But yeah, it was a cell phone that I guess he forgot to put in his locker, Noah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, like, as a bullpen guy, I check it sometimes during the game. Yeah. Just to, like, for me, when the fall games were going on, I'm heavy into college football and watching my Michigan Wolverines play, not as much as the Detroit Lions. But on Saturdays, I was checking scores. That's what I was doing. So, you know, it happens. I don't know how you forget to leave it in your pocket, but, yeah, I thought it was funny. He was drafted the best ball teams, you know. Yeah. But did you also talk about Tim Anderson's injury yesterday? I know Chris Sale was in the morning, but Anderson was in the afternoon. I think the White Sox are probably done.
Yeah, the news came down 4 to 6 weeks for Tim Anderson. He's going to be out. And that's probably – I mean, that's their table setter at the top of the lineup there, right? And when you lose a guy like that, I think that's that really hurts because, you know, you and I were talking about this on Tuesday that it's really a three-horse race. I mean, it's a tight race in that AL Central between the White Sox, the Guardians, and the Twins. And when you lose a guy like that for the White Sox, that's probably going to set them back here a little bit. So
yeah,
it might just turn into a two-horse race between the Twins and the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, he's a career 300 hitter. So that's going to affect this already struggling lineup to have your best hitter for average out for an extended period of time here. And then obviously the whole Chris Sale thing, former White Sox, fell off the bike, but you guys covered that on yesterday's podcast probably. The last thing that I had on my list from yesterday, did you see JJ Bleday's family in the Marlins Phillies?
I saw that. I don't know if it was on Twitter. I was watching my screen this morning. There was a graphic that came up, something about his family, but I got a phone call in the middle of it. I didn't see what happened. You want to film
it? Yeah, so it was kind of like a hometown game for him, Philly against the Marlins, and I'm former Vanderbilt guy too. So like I've liked this guy for a little bit. Hits a home run into right field, and there's a bunch of Philly fans sitting in front of his family, and I think they probably grew up Phillies fans. They're living in Philly. They're either Philly or some kind of New York import fans. Yeah. They're flipping off the crowd and the fans in front of them. It was absolutely hilarious. So that clip was awesome. The last thing I guess I'll mention is address what the Rockies did to Miles Michaelis. And I kind of said it on the podcast, but that was a really, really bad podcast for my Wi-Fi. I'm hoping it's going to be better today. It hasn't given me any issues while handicapping these before recording here. But the Rockies curb stomped Michaelis for 10 runs in the first like 2.2 innings.
Yeah.
And like Insano says, sometimes you know, when we list ERAs, they sometimes get skewed. This is a number one example of it, I guess, in my eyes. He's a sinker pitcher. I think yesterday I was so frazzled by my Wi-Fi, I was saying he was a changeup pitcher. His number one pitch is a sinker, and he doesn't get that vertical downward movement in Coors Field. He gave up 10 runs. His season ERA went from 2.92 to 3.50.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. I had the over in that game yesterday, and it cashed fairly easily.
11.5.
Yeah. and we've talked about this a lot, is that, you know, the stats go out the window when you're going into Coors Field.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just because because of the ballpark, the altitude and things like that. So, you know, it's just one of those things that last night, Michaelis just was a victim of that last night. And hopefully the Cardinals can bounce back here tonight. I know. I think that total again opened up at, I think, 11.5, moved to 12. Now it's at 12.5. So we might see more runs being scored here, at least in the Wednesday night game between the Cardinals and the Rockies.
I mean, stay tuned for that, because I have more analysis on a Cardinals pitcher that may struggle again in Coors Field here. Two other things, my lock and dog. I think I'm in the clear here for Wednesday's slate. I locked the Mets run line -1.5 against the Reds. And then I had the Nationals against the Cubs, both huge letdown spots going in the Field of Dreams games. So I figured that was prime for the taking. So 2-0 day on that for both.
Well, Nationals actually, you had the Nationals today?
Yeah, I had the Nats.
Oh, yeah, they lost 4-2.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They were up 2-0, and then the Cubs came back, I think, in the bottom of the seventh. Yeah, I was watching this game as well. They put up 4 in that inning. A couple of hits there by Cubs runners, and the bullpen kind of blew it up there for the Nationals. But Josiah Gray again on the mound, on the road again, had a pretty stellar outing for the Nationals. But unfortunately, that one didn't come into fruition. I was sweating out the under 7.5 in the Brewers and Rays game. It was an official pick, but it was a personal play for me. Got a little sweaty there. Rowdy Tellez tied it up in the bottom of the ninth. I was like, oh, here we go. Extra innings, bummer. But again, the defense for the Brewers really stepped up, and they walked it off in the bottom of the 10th. So 4-3 victory. So it's a good start to the day, at least for baseball for me. But one more set of news to get to for you. Dealing with your team, I'll let you take the road here, bud.
Yeah, I mean, we've already talked 13 minutes about news, and nobody cares about the Tigers, but they just fired Al Avila, their general manager. Yeah. So, you know, live in Avila Loca today for the last day ever. Thank God. Yeah. I mean, this guy has been in the head of the helm for 7 straight years, and we've never had a winning season against him. It was about time, because, you know, Torque, as much as I think I like the guy, he has not panned out. Riley Green's hitting .220. And then all of these pitchers are getting injured, and we were told over all the years that these guys are going to be the arms that we build our team around. Mm-hmm. And right now they're nowhere to be found. Casey Mize, Tommy John, just so many injuries. There's like 15 starting pitchers this year that we've used, not to mention Why is his name skipping my brain right now? But he threw a no-hitter yesterday, last year, Turnbull. He hasn't even made an appearance this year. Mm-hmm. Matt Manning just came back from injury. Tarik Skubal's out with injury. Also elbow, so who knows what's going to happen there. It's just tough times. So he had to go, in my opinion. You can't be consistently bad at your job and keep it, in my opinion. So, I think that was the right move, and I'm ready to talk about some Thursday baseball.
Yeah, before we get into the Thursday baseball, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, WynnBET. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Now is a perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. If you're betting baseball, and I know you are because you're listening to this pod, you have to check out WynnBET. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet MLB. Plus, WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus of up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offers up to change terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 years or older and present. The state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Roster brought to you by Odds Trader. What is Odds Trader? Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from Sportsbook to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all the games you bet, plus your betting activity. So all you got to do is go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. That's oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets. All right, now let's get into the Thursday schedule. Short schedule on Thursday. We'll try to get through this as quickly as possible. Let's start it off with some afternoon action. A lot of afternoon games tomorrow. We only have two night games tomorrow. So another day to get us through the games with some baseball during the day. So first game on the board, it's going to be the Miami Marlins in Philly to take on the Phillies. 105 Eastern start. Edward Cabrera on the mound for the Miami Marlins. Kyle Gibson's on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. Looking at the opening lines for this game, the Phillies are a -165 favorite, +140 on the money line for the Miami Marlins. Over under a set, I'm sorry, 8, with juice towards the over at -130. Run line -1.5, +130 for the Phillies, and the Miami Marlins run line +1.5, -150. Noah, I'll let you lead this one off. Cabrera versus Gibson.
Yeah, the Marlins, they're 2-8 in their last 10 games, and the Phillies, they're on a 6-game win streak. They're 5-1 in their last 6 games at home against the Marlins, and the Marlins under has hit in 7 straight games. So, trends out of the way, let's talk about some of these pitchers. And for Miami, they have their young stud Edward Cabrera going here. It's his second game after coming off the IL. He had one bad outing this year against the Astros where he gave up 5 runs in 4.2 innings pitched. But other than that, he has a 0.5 ERA in his 3 starts against the Cubs, Nationals, and Rockies. Now, I know those 3 games are not very good teams, but that Rockies game actually was at Coors, and he didn't give up a run in 6 innings. So pitched very well. Other than one Astros game this year. For Philly, Kyle Gibson's going. He's 7-4 this year. Has 11 quality starts, 4.36 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 32 walks in 115.2 innings pitched. He has a home ERA of 3.62. Philly is low-key rolling right now and taking care of the weak part of their schedule. 9 of their last 10 wins are against the Pirates, Nationals, and Marlins, and I think we have to add this game too. So I'll take the Phillies on the money line. You know, I'm not as confident in the run line here, but I think that's in play too, just because I'm not sure where the total is going to be here in this game or where they're going to be landing here.
So Kyle Gibson this season, this is going to be his 4th start already against the Miami Marlins. And, you know, his last 2 starts, which the most recent starts on the 15th of June and the 15th of July, both stellar outings. He only allowed 1 earned reach in both of those games. The one in June, he went 8 innings and then 6 innings in the July 15th matchup. So, you know, he's familiar with this lineup. I agree with you. I'll lean with the Phillies here. I also do like the under in this game. That number's trending towards 8.5. So if it does get to 8.5, I'll probably pull the trigger on the under. You mentioned it. Edward Cabrera has been absolutely fantastic this season. For him to go into Coors Field, not only not allow any runs, Noah, but he only allowed one hit to the Colorado Rockies in that game. And, you know, we talk about the Houston Astros and how much do we really take away from, you know, pitcher stats from that, where Houston is one of the best offenses in the league. He did, like you mentioned, he gave up 5 earned runs, but other than that, really solid. So I'm going to side with the under in this game, under 8.5. If it does get there, also do like the Philly side in this game as well.
And Sano in the comments is on the first five. Do you agree with that?
First five under?
Yep.
Yeah, with these two pitchers, 100%, because you expect at least both of them to go at least five innings in this game. So weather dependent, because it is a day game, hopefully there's no wind blowing out. But I can
check the wind.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, you check that for me, and then I'll get over to the next game of the day. It's going to be the Cleveland Guardians in Detroit, to take on the Tigers, a 1:10 Eastern start. Zach Plesac on the mound for the Cleveland Guardians and Garrett Hill on the mound for the Detroit Tigers. The Cleveland Guardians are a -165 road favorite. Detroit Tigers home puppy +140. Over-under set at 8.5 with juice towards the under at -115. Run line -1.5 even money for the Guardians and +1.5 -120 for the Detroit Tigers. Zach Plesac has been okay this season for the Guardians. The record really doesn't show it, but it's just two areas where he's really getting in trouble. To a number one, it's on the road. I mean, and it's a glaring fact. He's 1-7 on the road with a 5.31 ERA, 35 earned runs allowed, and 59 1/3 innings pitched. The wins are just not there for him. But against AL Central opponents, he's 1-3 with a 2.63 ERA. So. And I actually looked this up that he has really good numbers against the Tigers as he well. Does. 4-2 with a 2.25 ERA. And this goes all the way back to 2019. If I filter this down to since 2021, still good. 2-2 with a 3.15 ERA. But Noah, he's just not getting the run support from the Cleveland Guardians in his starts. Let me get to Garrett Hill here. He's been really good as well over his against the Guardians. I know he has a 2-3 record with a 5.12 ERA. The walks are the one issue for Garrett Hill. Over his last five games, 1-3 with a 5.96 ERA. He faced the Blue Jays, the Padres, the A's, and the White Sox, where he did give up some runs. In his last start, he had a great outing against the Tampa Bay Rays, where he went 5 2/3 innings and only allowed one earned run. I want to see if he has faced the Guardians this season, and he has back on July 4th. 6 innings pitched, only allowed 2 hits, 1 earned run to the Cleveland Guardians. You know, as bad as form as these two pitchers have been in, I think the historical numbers and the familiarity, at least with the within your own division, I think that's kind of what's differentiating it for me. If I see a 4 or 4.5 for the first five, I may go with the over, but I'm going to lean here with I'm actually going with the home puppy here. Give me the Tigers in the first five. I think the bullpen probably blows it up for them, but. Another thing I do want to look at for this game, Noah, and I get your more input because this guy is your pitcher, probably a walks prop for Garrett Hill because he's prone to giving up a lot of walks.
Yeah. There's like his first or second start, he was very in control. And then lately, I don't know what's going on, but he's had like at least 2 walks and like 4 or 5 straight starts. I don't have his stats
straight.
In front of me.
5 straight.
But 5 straight. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think last game it was set at 2.5 against the Rays when he pitched and he walked 3 guys. I believe that's the case. So still, even when they set that line higher, he hit it. And this Cleveland Guardians team is very good, very patient at the plate. So I kind of like that walks prop, actually. But where I was going to be landing here for this game, honestly, is, you know, I think that runs get scored early in this game against the two starters, but honestly, throughout the whole game, I'm not sure if there's a lot of runs, if that makes any sense. So I might
first be five over.
Yeah, I might be first five over, full game under. That's kind of like where my thought is. The Tigers bullpen's pretty good. Cleveland's it's middle of the road, middle of the pack in the MLB this year, I believe. So that's kind of where I'm going to land. Not really confident betting on my team right now. This could be very well, I don't know, just a nice little run here of momentum for the Tigers after firing Avila. You could look at it that way. Yeah. I know they play a game technically today on Wednesday, and that would typically be the spot where they win, but who knows? Maybe it carries on. I'm just rambling on a game that pretty much means nothing tomorrow. So
yeah, I mean, as far as bullpen numbers, like you mentioned, Detroit is top five actually in team ERA. Yes. And Cleveland is, I think, only, yeah, they're also top 10. They're at number 9 in bullpen ERA. So I think even Captain Sona mentioned this in the chat, that first five over might be a play between these two teams. I know that both of these pitchers have kind of been reeling over the past five games.
I honestly think it's like a 4-2 game, what, like 3-2 after five, 4-2 final in Cleveland's favor. But you have the Tigers as a dog. If the Tigers are going to win, it's probably going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah. Did you have that weather report for the Phillies?
Yeah, 6 miles an hour out to right field. So it's not too effective, but it's still blowing out a little bit. So
okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the next game on the board. It's going to be a 2:10 Eastern start, the AL Central matchup as well. Chicago White Sox in Kansas City to take on the Royals. Dylan Cease on the mound for the Chicago White Sox and Zach Greinke on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. The Chicago White Sox are a minus 180 favorite in this game, and the Kansas City Royals plus 155 on the money line. Over-under set at 8.5 with juice towards the under at minus 120. Run line both ways, minus 110 on plus 1.5 and minus 1.5 for their respective teams. I'll start with Dylan Cease here, and he has been absolutely just brilliant over his last we can even go back further. I mean, over his last five games, he has an ERA of 0.59. He's only allowed two earned runs in close to 31 innings pitched over his last five games. Did face the Royals this season twice already, close to 12 innings pitched, only allowed two earned runs in that span. On the road this season, 7-1 with a 1.33 ERA. And against the Royals in his career, he is, 4-2. With a 2.69 ERA, 70 strikeouts in 11 appearances. I'm going to filter this down to 2021 because there's more recent information there. Those numbers get even better. 2-1 with a 1.85 ERA. He's struck out at least nine batters against our struck out at least nine Royals batters in his last four starts against this team. Two starts this season, he's had at least nine strikeouts. I don't want to get in front of the Dylan Cease train right now. Something similar to the Justin Verlander train, like with the Astros. I think these are by far the two best pitchers right now in the American League. He has great history against the Royals as well. Zach Greinke, he's been great at home for the Kansas City Royals. On the season, he's 3-7 with a 4.58 ERA. At home this season, 3-2 with a 2.23 ERA. His last start was against Boston, where he did give up some runs, four earned runs, in 4 2/3 innings pitched. I really like the under in this game between these two guys, under 8.5. Dylan Cease, like I mentioned, he's not giving up many runs. I also like the Chicago White Sox first five run line in this game. So I'm all in on Dylan Cease here, but also do like the first five run line is at minus 130 for the Chicago White Sox and full game under 8.5 for me in this game. Noah, what do you got?
You know, at the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about this White Sox lineup, and I even said, I think they're done. This price, there's no way in the world I can lay it on the White Sox money line for a full game. So immediately to me, the Royals money line is enticing. Plus 164 is what I saw it like an hour ago when I was handicapping these games. Greinke pitches better at home. There's 7 miles an hour in from right field wind. So love the under. And if it's a low scoring game, I like this feisty Royals lineup. I really do. I've been on them like a couple of times the last week or a week or two, and they've treated me pretty well. So I think I'm on the other side where it comes to the game here. Even in the first five too. I think that price tag is really just because of Cease. So I think there's some value on Kansas City if they can kind of just weather the storm in the first six or seven innings and then get into that White Sox bullpen.
All right. Let's get to the next game on the board. It's going to be the Texas Rangers in Houston to take on the Astros, a 2:10 Eastern start. Cole Reagans on the mound for the Texas Rangers and Framber Valdez on the mound for the Houston Astros. Looking at the lines for this game, Astros are, let's see, close to a $3 favorite, -295 on the money line for the Houston Astros, +245 for the Texas Rangers. Over-under set at 8 with juice towards the over at -120. Run line, -1.5, -135 for the Houston Astros, and +1.5, +115 for the Texas Rangers. I'll start with Framber Valdez here for the Houston Astros. He's having a pretty good season for them, 10-4 with a 2.87 ERA, 120 strikeouts to 48 walks. The one thing that really stood out to me is that his history against the Rangers, especially this season in two starts, he's 1-0 with a 0.69 ERA. He's only allowed one earned run in 13 innings pitched against the Texas Rangers this season. He has given up at least three earned runs in three straight starts to the opposition, which was against two against the Mariners and one against the Guardians. But the Astros did win two out of those three games in those starts. But, you know, let me see his history against the Texas Rangers over the past couple seasons as well. He is actually 4-2 with a 2.78 ERA since the 2019 season. So good numbers against the Rangers. Cole Reagans for the Texas Rangers. This is going to be a second start of the season. He had a good outing against the Chicago White Sox. Five innings. He didn't allow any earned runs in that game. Did have four walks in that game. Walks are an issue for him, especially if you look at his minor league game log. He's prone to giving up walks. But I'm going to stick with the Astros here on the run line here. I think Framber Valdez does well against the Rangers. He continues his momentum. And I think the Astros can possibly get to Cole Reagans here. So give me the Astros run line in this game. And I'll probably on the total, I would lead towards the under, Noah.
Yeah, for this game, personally, I'm on the Astros as well. 747 OPS, which is 10th in the league against left-handed pitching. Reagans is a lefty. Then you go into the trends and Houston, they're playing well as of late. The offense has started to pick it back up a little bit. Five runs, eight runs in two of their last three games here. They're 4-2 in their last six. Texas, they're 2-6 in their last eight and 1-5 in the last six games against Houston. And in this series, I guess, the under is hitting 10 of the last 12 games these two teams have played against each other. Mm-hmm. For me, though, I think I just got to land on the Astros run line here. You know, Valdez has great numbers against Texas. Insano in the chat, again, coming in clutch. He's got 13 innings pitched this year, only one earned run. Yeah. So, I think I'm on the run line here for the Astros.
All right. Before we get over to the next game, let me tell you guys about the newest sponsor on SGPN. It's Run Your Pool. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, from Pick'em and Survivor to Fantasy Pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We've teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor Contest. It's free to enter, and some amazing prizes will be announced very soon. Hop in now to reserve your spot. Get in over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there, and I use it for mine. They just passed 4 million users, and now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is a first sports contest built into the fantasy experience. The main reason I'm excited about the over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can play and copy my friend's picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to write it out together. Stop what you're doing today and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. So on your mobile devices, join our listener group on Sleeper by going to sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right, Noah, let's keep the ball rolling here, my man. Next game on the board, it's going to be a 3:10 Eastern start. St. Louis Cardinals in Colorado to take on the Rockies. Dakota Hudson on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals. And Herman Marquez for the Colorado Rockies. looking at the lines for this game, the Cardinals are favored -125 on the money line, +105 for the Colorado Rockies. Over-under set at 12 with a little bit of juice towards the under at -115. Run line -1.5, +120 for the St. Louis Cardinals, and +1.5, -140 for the Colorado Rockies. Noah, I'll let you lead this one off, man. Dakota Hudson versus Herman Marquez.
Yeah, so like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, the Rockies snapped the Cardinals' 7-game win streak on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And I know I mention this every now and then when it happens to be a pitcher with a sinker or a changeup that they heavily rely on. I don't ever really mention the stat, or I haven't in a few podcasts in a row now. So, I mean, vertical drop for a sinker in Coors Field, it lessens by 3 inches. And for curveball, it lessens by 2 inches. And for a changeup, it's somewhere in the middle. They don't really have a stat for that. But those are the three, like, huge popular pitches that have vertical downward movement, and it gets affected by Coors Field. We saw it with Miles Michaelis on Tuesday night, and I think we're going to see it with Dakota Hudson here on Thursday night. He's 6-6 with a 4.20 ERA, 56 strikeouts, 46 walks, and 105 innings pitched. He uses that sinker 36% of the time. I just don't think he's going to have that normal vertical movement on that pitch like he normally trusts. So I think, again, this is advantage Rockies here. But then you go over and look at Colorado's starter, Herman Marquez. He's 6-9, 5.18 ERA, 98 strikeouts, 43 walks, and 121.2 innings pitched. His home ERA is 6.19. So I gave out the over 11.5 on Tuesday night. This game's set at 12, but I still like the over here.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys are struggling. There's no question about it, especially on the road. Like we talked about with Dakota Hudson, 2-4 on the road with a 5.26 ERA. He hasn't faced the Rockies this season. Again, throw the stats out the window when we're talking about Coors Field because everything changes there. But again, he hasn't faced his team since 2019. And again, the conditions are, like you mentioned, it affects pitches, right? Sinkers are affected, curveballs, sliders, all those pitches are affected. So I think in all three of these games, we're going to see runs. We saw it last night with the first game on Tuesday night. I think we'll see it on Wednesday night. I think it continues here as well. So give me the over in the 12 in this game as well. I like that. I feel like they're baiting you here to take the Cardinals on such a cheap price, but I'm going to steer clear of that. But my favorite play, I agree with you. Give me the first five innings over as well, and give me full game over. I think we might see a situation where, who knows, we might get 12 runs by the time the fifth inning comes around between these two pitchers.
Yeah, I'm going a little bit of a rabbit chase here for Insano in the chat. He asked about Marquez's walks. Now, in four of his last seven appearances, he's had at least three walks. Looking up the Cardinals' numbers here, they walk 3.27 times a game. And in their last three games, it's been over 4.5 times a game. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, if you get a good number here, I'm talking odds wise. So anything -150 or less, -175 or less, even I like it at 2.5, 3 over.
All right. Next game on the board. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Arizona Diamondbacks. 3:40 Eastern start. JT Brubaker on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Merrill Kelly on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Opening lines for this game, I'm currently seeing the Arizona Diamondbacks are a -165 favorite, +140 on the money line for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Over-under set at 8. Run line -1.5, +135 for the Diamondbacks, and +1.5, -155 for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Noah, Pirates and D-backs with Brubaker and Kelly here, buddy.
Yeah, the Pirates, they're 1-4 in the last five. D-backs 4-1 in their last five. Arizona unders at home are 32-23-4, and both teams are throwing two of their best pitchers. JT Brubaker, you could argue he is the ace of Pittsburgh if they even have an ace. Just don't look at his record. He's 2-10, but he has a 4.49 ERA, 111 strikeouts, 44 walks, and 108.1 innings pitched. He pitches better on the road as well with a 3.94 road ERA. Merrill Kelly going for the D-backs, 10-5, 2.86 ERA on the year, 109 strikeouts, 33 walks, and 132.1 innings pitched. In his last seven starts, he has a 1.54 ERA. I really like the under here, and if you're looking for a side, I like Arizona.
I agree with you. I'm going to keep this simple. I like the Arizona run line here. Merrill Kelly has been great over his last five games, 3-0 with a 1.29 ERA. I know the Diamondbacks have lost two of his last two starts. Was I'm trying to say, but he's pitching brilliantly. I think that if this number somehow, I don't think it'll get to 8.5, but maybe a team total Pirates under in this game, it would be worth a look. Because I'm just not a believer in this Pirates offense right now, especially on the road. I like Merrill Kelly in this spot, especially at plus money on the run line. Give me the Diamondbacks minus 1.5, plus 135 on the money line for this game.
Like that.
All right, yeah. Next game on the board. Let's go with the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox. 7:10 Eastern start. Austin Voth on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles and Josh Winkowski on the mound for the Boston Red Sox. Looking at the lines for this game, I'm currently seeing the Baltimore Orioles are, and it's still refreshing. Here we go. The Boston Red Sox are a home favorite of minus 135 in this game, plus 115 on the money line for the Baltimore Orioles. Over-under set at 10 with juice towards the under at minus 115. Run line minus 1.5, plus 150 for the Boston Red Sox, plus 1.5, minus 175. For the Baltimore Orioles. I'll start with Josh Winkowski here. He just has not been very good, especially at Fenway Park. He is 5-5 on the season with a 4.68 ERA, 3-3 at Fenway Park with a 6.18 ERA. Last five games, the ERA is consistent there at 6.38. So he's just not been very good. He did have a good outing against the Kansas City Royals in his last start, but he's prone to giving up runs early. And this Baltimore Orioles team right now is playing well. I've been on the Baltimore Orioles run line here over the past couple nights, and I think that continues going into Fenway Park. I think we see runs early. Austin Voth is also prone to giving up runs early, but he's been really good over his past five games for the Baltimore Orioles. He's 2-0 with a 2.66 ERA. I don't believe he's faced a Red Sox this season or in his career, or actually he has, but that was when he was with the Nationals. So no relevant information there, but looking at his splits on the road this year, he is 0-1 with a 5.88 ERA, allowed 17 earned runs in 26 innings pitched. So I think this is going to be another series where I think we see runs early and often between these two clubs. So I love the first five over in this game. And I don't see how we can bet against the Baltimore Orioles right now. I mean, they're finding ways to win games, even when they have like bad pitching on the mound. Kyle Bradish, since he returned from the IL the other night, I was wrong and I faded him, but he looked really good in that game. He got the victory for the Orioles over the Jays last night. And this just feel like they're on a mission here to at least try to get into a playoff position. I think they are either half a game out or something like that. I'm riding the O's here. I'm fading the Red Sox pitching. The Red Sox aren't making the playoffs. they're just not a very good team right now. This is going to be an interesting offseason for them, but I'm got to stay with the hot hand here. Orioles team total over. Give me the Orioles money line at plus 115 as well.
Yeah, I'll keep it nice and simple. The Orioles are 5-3 against the Red Sox here. I don't know how you can bet the Red Sox when the Orioles have been going like they have been. I think could be a bold statement because I think the Giants were a little bit better last year, but I think this Baltimore Orioles team is pretty much a carbon copy of the San Francisco Giants last year. A lot of people doubting them. They just keep proving doubters wrong. Yeah. I've been one of them. It happens. Sometimes teams sneak under your radar for most of the year. It doesn't look pretty. Like their roster doesn't look pretty on paper, but they get the job done.
It's almost like when they called up Adley Rutschman to the major leagues that everything changed
for this
Orioles team. And, you know, they have guys on this team that can really hit the ball. And I think that they're just finding ways. And sometimes we can't handicap intangibles, but if you're actually watching the games, like this team is motivated and they're looking to get to that wild card spot and it'll be something fun to see. So, give me the Orioles all day in this game against the Red Sox. Yeah. Last game of the night and the game of the night here. Noah. Field of Dreams game between the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. It's going to be a 7:15 Eastern start on Fox. Your starting pitchers for this game, Drew Smyly for the Chicago Cubs and Nick Lodolo for the Cincinnati Reds. Looking at the numbers for this game, the Reds are a slight favorite at minus 115, Cubs minus 105 on the money line. That number's changed. I know we were talking about this game offline earlier, but a little money probably looks like it has come in on the Reds. Over-under is now at 8.5 at minus 120 towards the over. Minus 1.5, plus 160 on the run line for the Cubs, and plus 1.5, minus 190 for the Cincinnati Reds. Noah, I'm going to turn this over to you if you want to handicap these pitchers. We'll handicap the game first, and then I know you have DFS stuff for this game. So let's start with the actual game here.
Yeah, let's get into it. Break out your pens and papers and notepads, because I wrote down a bunch on this game because I know it's going to drive a lot of attention. I want to make sure that everybody has what they think they need to have. So Chicago and Cincinnati, this is one of the two travel days here. You mentioned the other game, Boston and Baltimore, but Chicago and Cincinnati, the Reds travel here from New York, Chicago, to Dyersville, Iowa from Wrigley Field. So not a huge travel day for the Cubs, but Cincinnati could affect them going into a different time zone. The Cubs are 4-3 versus the Reds this year. Only one of those seven games were decided by one run. So every one of the games besides one has hit on the run line. Chicago, they are the acting road team. They're pitching Drew Smyly. 4-6 record this year, 3.97 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 65.2 innings pitched. He has a 4.67 ERA away from Wrigley Field. For the Cincinnati Reds, they're the acting home team. They have the youngster Nick Lodolo on the mound. He's 3-3, 4.40 ERA, 58 strikeouts, 20 walks, in 43 innings pitched. He has a 7.04 ERA in his last five starts and an 8.84 road ERA. This is a guy that I like, and I think he has a lot of ability, swing and miss ability in his arm, but he has just not been in great form giving up runs lately. He's still racking up strikeouts, but I'm not confident in Lodolo's game right now. In the last year's MLB at Field of Dreams game, the game finished 9-8 in a game between the New York Yankees and Chicago White Sox, ending in a Tim Anderson walk-off home run that was movie-esque. The Hollywood ending was the eighth home run in the game. Eight total home runs. So it was ridiculously obvious that the MLB had enacted their specially juiced baseballs for this game, because I believe there was one Giancarlo Stanton home run. And maybe if there's any guy that has the ability to do this, it's Stanton. But he was like so out in front of an off-speed pitch. It was a one-armed swing, and he pulls at the left center for a bomb. And it was like 20 cornrows deep. So just it was painfully obvious that they did something with some of these baseballs. Now, that was the Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees last year, two first-place teams in the divisions. You know, there was a huge viewing audience. It was the first ever game at the Field of Dreams movie site. This is the second. I don't know if there's going to be the same amount of buzz. All the journalists are going to be able to show up in their 1960s, you know, outfits with the suspenders and the weird press hats. I don't know if it's going to draw the same audience that it did. So maybe there's not as much enticement for the MLB to throw some kind of special balls for the Cubs and the Reds. But there's nothing like old time baseball than relying on home runs for your only run support and, you know, just illegal sticky substance for the MLB pitchers here. My play, I guess, for the game is first five Reds. Again, not hugely confident in Lodolo's game, but we're going to touch on a little bit of DFS here in a second. The Reds have good numbers against Drew Smyly in their careers. So, you know, maybe a first five over, actually, now that I think about it more. Yeah. I think that's where I'm going to land. Not Reds money line. I think first five over is probably my favorite play.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. Drew Smyly 3-3 on the road so far this year with a 4.50 ERA. He did have one start against the Reds earlier this year, where he went 5 2/3 and did allow three earned runs in that game as well. But looked up the WRC plus numbers against left-handed pitching for the Cincinnati Reds. They're actually top 10 over the last 2 weeks against lefties in the MLB. So I think that they can put up some runs here against Smiley. I think this is going to be a game where, you know, maybe we see runs again being scored in this game. It's not confirmed. We have confirmation that they're putting out the juice balls out there. But when you're in Iowa, you want to see runs being put up in an exciting game.
It's the middle
game.
Of nowhere America, too. So yeah. Air is dense and the ball flies, too.
Yeah. So I like the over 8.5 in this game. I know it opened up 9, and now there's a little bit of, money that came in on the under. But I'll lean with the over 8.5. I do like the Reds playing this game as well.
Air is less dense. I think I said it was more dense in the middle of their America, less dense. I think that's the scientific explanation about that. But, me handicapping a lot of games in Omaha, Nebraska, it's the same way. Like the ball just, it flies through the air unless the wind is blowing in, which in the middle of nowhere, you might have some wild winds. Now, I don't know the forecast for tomorrow's Field of Dreams game, but, the Reds are top 6 in the league in strikeouts against left-handed pitching. Smiley's not exactly like a strikeout pitcher, so I'm not sure if I'm really confident in that. If we're talking like exotic player props here, Lodola, on the other hand, he only had taken it right from Insano's comment in the YouTube chat. He has at least 6 strikeouts in his 9 appearances. He only had 4 in his last start, so maybe the prop comes in lower. I'm just, like I previously mentioned, not as confident in his game lately. So first five overs probably my favorite play over for the game. I think it should be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there. Over for me in 8.5. I would probably lean with a side with the Reds as well, but I think that we see runs being put up here in this Field of Dreams game. Did you already you want to go through the DFS?
Yeah, I can do it. So yeah. If you want to play a special DFS showdown for this game, and I will be, so I'm not going to give out my exact lineup because you guys are going to be competing against me, but I'll give out some targets here for the game. Pitcher versus batter stats are a little bit hard to find for the Cubs against Nick Lodolo as he's a young kid, but for the Reds, Aristides Aquino, 444 average, 4-for-9 with 3 home runs against Drew Smiley. He has a 333 average, 4-for-9, 444 average, 3 home runs against Drew Smiley. He's cheap, 6K. So I think that's my number one play for this game. Just very good numbers against Smiley. Now, I was saying 333 average. Donovan Solano, he has a 333 average in the Reds' last 6 games that leads the team, and he's batting 375, 3-for-8 with 3 singles against Smiley as well. He's 9,900, so another good target there. Jonathan India, batting 333, 2-for-6, 2 singles against Smiley in his career. He's batting 238 with an RBI and a double in his last 6 games. He's one of the more expensive bats on this slate, 14,400. Honestly, I think that's probably a pass for me. Just a little too expensive for him. Not really in great form as of late. Nick Senzel for the Reds. He's batting 250, 2-for-7 with a home run against Smiley. He's batting 250 with 6 total bases in his last 5 games. He's 6K. So another nice price on a good Reds bat. And then for the Cubs, no PVB like I mentioned, but Nico Horner, he's also the shortstop on my fantasy team. Mm-hmm. He's 8-for-23 with a 348 average, 1 home run, 4 RBIs in his last 7 games. You can find his price at 13,800. It's a little pricey, but I think I like him. PJ Huggins, he's a guy that honestly I didn't know he was in this Cubs lineup right now. But he's 2-for-6, 333 with a home run in his last 3 games. He's 9K. He's a first baseman catcher for the Cubs. So got to check to see if he's in this lineup because Patrick Wisdom and Wilson Contreras, I would assume, would start in this big game. Ian Happ, he's 6-for-22, 273 average, 10 total bases, 6 in his last 6 games. He's 12.6K. I've always been a huge fan of Happer. He's from the Pittsburgh area, so I kind of have a soft spot for him. He might be in my lineup. And then the Cubs catcher, like I mentioned, Wilson Contreras. He's 7-for-28, 250 average in his last 7 games with 14 total bases, 6 RBIs, and 2 home runs. So he's not hitting for average, but he's got a lot of pop in that bat and plenty of RBIs to go with it in the middle of this order for the Cubs. So, you might not be able to rely on him for a hit like some of these other guys, but if he does, he's normally doing damage. So that's what I got for the DFS slate. Let me know if you guys want me to pick that back up again for the back half of the year, here in August and September. I will if the listeners want to, but it takes a lot of time in the podcasts, and we want to keep it like an hour, less than an hour and a half. So Munaf, any of that catch your eye? Any props that you might like?
I'd be interested in a Wilson Contreras home run prop tomorrow. Just like you said, like he has pop. I mean, the batting average is not there, but he does have pop off that bat. Yeah. against Nick Lodolo there. So that'd be something I'd be curious to see tomorrow what that comes out at.
Yeah, I guess that's a nice story. And the one pro, I guess, from not being traded from the Chicago Cubs, you can play in the Field of Dreams game and hit a home run.
Yeah, there you go. All right, before we get into our lock and dog, let me tell you guys about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why we at SGPN use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use, and all you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, Noah, let's close out the podcast strong with our lock and dog. I will let you lead it off, bud. What do you got for your lock and dog for the Thursday games?
You know, you're recording three podcasts today. You've done a lot of hard work. I'll let you lead off because the last, I guess, three podcasts that we've recorded together, you've let me lead off. I have a couple of dogs that I'm enticed on. I don't want to steal yours. So
okay.
Go ahead and lead.
For my lock, I'm going to go with the total in that Cardinals and Rockies game. I think it's just where they're going to see runs being scored in all three games in the series. We saw it, like I said, on Tuesday night. I think we'll see it on Wednesday night. I think we'll see it again Thursday afternoon. So it's a big number, but it's big for a reason. Both of these pitchers have been struggling. Dakota Hudson has struggled on the road. Herman Marquez, we read the numbers. He struggles at home as well. I'm going to go over 12 in this game between the Cardinals and the Rockies for my lock. For my dog, I really like the Arizona Diamondbacks on the run line, -1.5, +135 with Merrill Kelly on the mound. You know, he's been brilliant over his last five games. He's pitching at home where he's really comfortable. He has great numbers. And the Pirates offense just hasn't been able to produce runs right now. I know they put up a four spot last night on Tuesday night against the Diamondbacks, but I think the Diamondbacks still won that game. I think they won that game 6-4, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that here. Yeah, they actually did. So they've covered the run line in both of the first two games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think that continues with one of their better pitchers, or probably their second best pitcher on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks with Merrill Kelly. And one more note I did want to mention is that JT Brubaker, despite being, you know, really good, or probably the ace, he is actually 0-7 on the road so far this season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So give me the Diamondbacks run line, -1.5, +135 as my dog for the Thursday schedule, Noah.
All right. Yeah, I like that. Honestly, I wasn't looking at a run line, so you didn't really help me narrow out my options here. I think I kind of know my two favorite. I'm not sure if I want to go for the big dog or the logical dog that's a little bit cheaper. I think I'm going to stay away from the logical dog because it's in that Colorado Rockies St. Louis Cardinals game. There's going to be a ton of runs scored. Who knows what's going to happen? It's the last game of that series, Arenado, of course, in Colorado. There could be some magic in the Cardinals, even though I I think the Rockies are going to pounce early on Dakota Hudson. So that means my dog I'm going to turn to is the Kansas City Royals. Big dog against Dylan Cease and the White Sox, but Greinke's better at home. And this Royals lineup is feisty. I've had my money on them a couple of times in the last week here. They've done well for me. And, you know, I just, with the injury of Tim Anderson and the way that the, you know, bullpen is, I don't have confidence in the White Sox team, you know, to just figure it out. I really don't. So I think there's plenty of value going against Cease. Now, I'm not saying Cease is going to have a bad outing. I think that the Kansas City Royals might be able to weather the storm for six or seven innings and then get into that bullpen and score a few runs. So I like the Royals as my dog. And for the lock, I'm going for the primetime Field of Dreams game for the story. Give me the first five over. There's no number for it. I'm not afraid of the full game over either. Over 8.5 minus 120 for the Cubs, Cincinnati Reds. Last year, 8 home runs. The total is set at 8.5. I like the over here.
Yeah, I think that if that number's at 8.5, we're probably going to get a 4.5 in that first five innings. Yeah, I actually see a 4.5 at even money right now for the first five innings between the Cubs and the Reds in the Field of Dreams games. All right. There we go. That's going to do it for this edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast for the Thursday games. Noah, anything else we need to mention before we get out of here, bud?
Well, you know, so Al Avila was fired, so living Avila Loca, but also they bring up a young kid with 30 tanks in the minors and Kerry Carpenter. I believe he's 26. He has more home runs in the minors this year than the bottom 10 hitters of the Tigers roster right now combined, and the top two home run hitters, Javier Baez and Jamer Candelario, both with 10 and 11 home runs. So excited for a little bit of a new jolt, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, the offensive potential is there for this team. And, you know, maybe it comes about in the month of August and September that you get some exciting baseball. But I think this is the first step in the right direction for the Tigers organization by letting, you know, their GM, who's really failed them and just made some questionable moves, like you've mentioned numerous times. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that division is going to be very fun to watch over the next couple of years because there's a lot of young talent.
Yes.
On this in this division. So, yeah, hopefully your team starts to turn around here with a brand new general manager. So that's going to do it here, Noah. We'll be back tomorrow in some form or fashion. Sorry, like I mentioned. Make sure to follow the MLB Gambling Podcast Twitter account at MLBSGPN. Follow
Noah. Tomorrow's Malcolm's return, right?
I don't know what that guy's doing. He's on the beach, said he looks good in the bathing suit, but I don't know if he's wearing two piece or what's going on with that guy. But he said he'll be back Thursday, but if not, I'll be here I'll be here as usual.
You're not filling.
Yeah. Follow Noah on Twitter at 77, the word 70, the letter 7. His initials NB on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Good luck with your bets tonight. Till then, let's break these books off and let it ride.